Let's look in Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. We'll begin reading in verse 7. And we'll read through verse 13. Genesis chapter 13. And we'll begin reading in verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land, then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves, the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Up until this point, you'd say, well, you know, I don't blame Lot. You know, if I was given the opportunity like Abraham gave him, and, you know, as I looked around, he looked and saw that the land that he could pick from was well watered, you'd say, I don't blame Lot for picking that land. But see, verse 13 shows us that there was a problem with Lot's choice. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. I want to preach just for a little while this afternoon on this title, this thought, Getting Used to the Dark. I won't say, and I try when I have to preach a message like this, I don't want to come across mean-spirited, but I am pretty stirred up about the condition that our land is in, and I'm getting more stirred and troubled, Brother Jim, about the condition of even God's people in the day in which we live. We're getting used to the dark. I made a comment Wednesday night. I said that we've lost the cultural war in America. And you might have thought, well, what do you mean by that? Well, when you think about the culture, that means the environment, the surroundings around us. And they have, what the world, the flesh, the devil, the environment around us has set what is right and wrong more than the Word of God does in our day and time. Culture has decided what's right and what's wrong. And those of us as the people of God, we must realize that we are in a spiritual battle and that the things of culture in the world, there, I'm telling you, we can even get used to the dark. And that's, I want to use Lot as an example. Lot was a boy who was the nephew of Abraham. And him and his uncle had come to a time where they had to part ways. Lot chose to take his herd and his herdsmen and go to the well-watered plains of Jordan. It was so well-watered that the Bible even compared it to the Garden of Eden, I believe it was talking there. I mean, when you looked at the land of Sodom, it was about like Olmsted. See, Olmsted, it's almost like God quit blessing when you get across 68 and 80. It goes to rocks and hills and hollers. But on this side, I mean, you look at the well-watered plains there, and Lot looked it over, and man, it was flourishing, and it seemed like on the surface it's a good place to go. But I won't say that just because something looks profitable in this world doesn't mean that it's going to help you spiritually. I know a lot of men have took a job somewhere else, and before they ever checked out about a church or what they were going to do as far as the house of God, they jump up and took that job and said, well, when I get down there, I'll find somewhere to go. Yeah, you don't even realize how hard it is to find a true New Testament Baptist church that still preaches preaching the old time way, that's still staying with the King James Bible, that still believes in church discipline, that still holds to the doctrines of grace, yeah, they're on every corner. Yeah, you can go find one, no problem. No, Lot didn't worry about if there was a good Baptist church down there. All he was worried about is it was good land and good for his pocketbook, and that's what he made his decision on. That's exactly right. So Lot goes that way. You notice there, it said he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Whatever way you pitch your tent is the way you'll end up going. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. I'm telling you, you couldn't have told Lot any different. He was convinced that, yeah, they're bad down there. Yeah, it's maybe a wicked place, but I'll change them. I'll influence them. And so Lot takes him, his herdsmen. Do you realize all the people that Lot led to Sodom? He led his two daughters. He led his wife. We must remember, as we get used to the dark, as men of our homes, that we're also leading our families toward darkness. We're getting used to the dark in our country and in our homes and even in our churches. I believe that we ought to preach on grace. We ought to preach on the truth of the church. We ought to preach on church truth. But I tell you what, in our churches, it seems like our pulpits have been silenced about preaching on holiness and godliness and practical living. Oh, they'll say, hallelujah, preacher, preach on this or that. But when we get down to where the rubber meets the road, where we live day to day, I'm afraid that a lot of our preachers have got used to the dark, and they're not going to rock the wagon because they don't want anybody to flare up about what they say. And instead of lifting their voice like a trumpet, Brother Jim, they don't even have a good strong flute to lift on Sunday morning. I tell you what, I'm very concerned. If our churches decline as much the next 15 or 20 years as we have the last, I'm telling you, you won't even recognize a lot of places that they were ever anything that were truth for God. Getting used to the dark. Getting used to the dark. In Genesis 18, we won't turn there, but Abraham begins to intercede for Lot. God and Abraham began to converse, and he said, if you can find so many, I won't destroy. See, God got fed up with the sin of Sodom. The Bible said that they should be an example to all nations. And I'm not a doom and gloom preacher, but if God does not bring judgment on America, then He'll have to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. They are to be an example to all nations. But I'm going to say this today. America is already under the judgment of God. But we're so used to the dark, we don't even realize it a lot of times. Economically, we're struggling. Spiritually, the Bible said there would come a famine, not of food or bread, but of hearing the Word of God. The judgment of God is on America. And the fact that our preachers and our churches as a whole no longer say, thus saith the Lord. They're more worried about entertainment and social clubs and programs instead of getting up and just nailing it down like the Bible says it is and preach to men like they are. I'm telling you, that's what we need more of, is that kind of preaching. But instead, we're getting less and less of it. And I'm really troubled that we're getting used to the dark. Turn with me to Genesis 19. I'm going to use Lot here as an example of somebody who can get used to the dark. And I pray that we, as we look at that, that we can learn some things that'll help us to not be... You'll say, preacher, do you realize you're preaching to Olmsted Baptist Church? I mean, we've been standing here 55 years. Now, most of us, probably none of us were here when it started. But, you know, preacher, you're not talking to Dripping Spring. You're talking to Olmsted Baptist Church. I mean, we still believe in church truth. That's good. Amen. We still believe in election predestination. That's good. Amen. We still believe, but I'm telling you that a lot of people kick back on four or five doctrines, but they don't want to take in the Word of God that changes how you live out there and worldly and carnality. I know a lot of churches who preach the truth about the church and about grace, but they're so eat up with carnality and the world that it looks almost more like a social meeting than the house of God. We're getting used to the dark. little by little. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens little by little. I want you to see the obvious adjustment that Lot had to make to be able to stay in Sodom and Gomorrah. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, same two that had talked to Abraham the previous chapter. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. See, Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. To sit at the gate was a sign of leadership. Lot had went down to Sodom, and it was a wicked city. It was overtaken by fornication, drunkenness, sodomy. It was a vile place. And for Lot to be able to get down there and move to the elevated position of a man who would sit at the gate as one that ruleth and be an elder, a judge there, Lot had to do a whole lot of bending and compromise to move up to that position. I can imagine as Lot rolled into Sodom and Gomorrah and his daughters and his wife, and they began to look around and they noticed that there was a lot of things different in Sodom than places that they'd ever been before. As they looked around, they saw them. As they looked around, they saw men hugged up over here kissing and having relations. And Lot said, "Well, you know, we don't look over there, kids. Don't look over there." And as they go along, they'll see this and that. And there are things that Lot knows are wrong in his heart. But Lot said, "Well, but it's so well watered here, and we'll make the best of it. Let's just go on and see if we can stay and make it." And they start on down the road of getting used to the dark. Verse 2, "And he said, Behold, now my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned into him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat." These are the angels of the Lord now that are coming to warn him. "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every corner. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly." See, Lot, when Lot headed down to Sodom, you could ask him, "What do you think about the sin of sodomy?" And he'd have said, "Oh, it's vile and wicked against God." But now Lot steps out and calls the Sodomites brethren. See, he had went from standing against something to now, "Well, you know, it's not quite as bad as what I thought it was." And now he steps out and calls the Sodomites brethren. He's getting used to the dark. See, exposure brings acceptance. That gripping plant in Russellville is the stinkingest thing I've ever smelled in my life. I come off that hill on 79 in the mornings and it is awful. And I've talked to people that live around there and they say, "You know what? See, when I first moved here, it just about made me sick to my stomach. But now as time has went on," they said, "You know what? It don't bother me bad as I used to. I won't say that Griffin stinks as bad as it ever did, but the thing is that our taste changes. They've got used to it, and spiritually speaking, when we're around darkness and the things of the world, when we're around the entertainment of the world, when we're around the music of the world and the shows of the world that pump filth into us, I'm telling you, we will get used to it, and that's why it's showing up in our churches in worldliness and carnality. And God help us to see that we're getting used to the dark, I'm afraid." He said, brethren, don't do this thing. He called the Sodomites brethren. He's getting used to the dark. Now look how bad he's got now, verse 8. "Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now Lot has offered his two virgin daughters to a street full of sodomites. You'll say, well, preacher, yeah, I might have let up a little bit here, but I'm not where Lot's at. I'm going to tell you something about sin. It's not where you start, it's where you'll end up. What you do in moderation, you'll end up doing in excess. And I guarantee you that what you parents allow in moderation, your children will go in excess. You look all through the Bible, every generation seemed to come on, they was a little weaker. They wasn't as close to the Lord. It just seems like it's that way. And I'm telling you, as we have the culture and the television and the media bombing our youth about sexual immorality and nakedness and worldliness, I'm telling you, we don't need to get more used to that stuff, but we need to stand against it. But instead, we just take it all in and we get used to it. Lot offered his daughters. And I noticed something else too, as these men gathered, even the old men were there and the whole city. See, a lot of people, some of y'all wouldn't do certain things, but it don't bother you to watch other people do it. You say, preacher, don't go to meddling. I'm trying to help us not get used to the dark. Amen. You wouldn't participate in certain things, but you sure enjoy watching others do it. You say, preacher, we're saved by grace. That don't matter. You perverted grace. That's one of your problems right there. Grace does a lot of things besides just save us. It teaches us some things, and I'll get to that. I know you can't wait. But I'm telling you, Lot was getting used to the dark. He had left Uncle Abraham and the man who built altars and worshiped God. And now he's down in Sodom calling them brethren and offering his daughters to them. But I tell you what bothers me. A lot of men, some of you men sitting here, you'd say, preacher, I wouldn't offer my daughters to the Sodomites. No, but do we not offer them to the world on how we let them act and how we let them dress and how we let them present themselves? I want to say, and I don't want to get ahead of the horse here and let the cart stay where it belongs, but we must realize that we are even offering our children to the world and maybe not even realizing it, because culture and time has toned down things that are still sin according to the Bible, but we just don't understand it because we're used to the dark.
Amen.
So as it goes on, these wicked Sodomites try to break in. They try to beat the door down. See, sodomy is not only a physical sin, but it's a wicked, violent sin. Sodomites are violent people. They're wicked people. And I won't say that they're after children. They're after people because they can't reproduce and they know they can't. And they're trying to pull others into their wicked sin. God had decided, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. So see, he had some other daughters besides the two that were still in the house with him. And said, here's what Lot told them, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. I'm going to tell you what getting used to the dark will do. You'll lose your influence and your testimony and your power to witness the things of God to your own family. I tell you what, it'd be just like if I left my wife and started drinking beer and living the life of a drunkard, and then I went by one of my family members and I said, hey, you need to repent of your sins and trust in Christ. They go, you're telling me I need to do that? Look what you did. Look what you did. You've done left your wife and you're drinking beer all the time. I knew that stuff wasn't nothing to all that religion and God. It was a joke. That's what they did to Lot. Said, Lot, you're telling us God's going to destroy us. Look what you had to do to get to your position. You're brethren with the Sodomites. You offered our sister-in-laws to them. You're right in here with us, Lot. Don't come telling us that stuff. You got used to the dark. See, that's why most people don't believe in church discipline, because they've got something in their claws that they're afraid is going to get stirred up if you start prowling around too much. I believe that. Yeah, that's what it is. That's why people say we can't judge sin. No, I'm going to tell you why Lot lost his powers, because he was joining right in with them. He had no influence, and they laughed in his face and said, "Don't come telling us things like that, Lot." Verse 15. "And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." But look at verse 16. "And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord be merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city." That word "lingered" there has to do with holding on or holding back. I tell you how much Lot had loved getting in the dark and got used to it, that the judgment of God was coming and he knew it. And when the angels warned him to get out of Sodom, he was so welded to the sins of Sodom and his family too, that the angels had to actually grab him by the hand and drag him kicking and screaming out of Sodom. I'm going to tell you what, Dad and Mom, you better be careful, I better be careful what I introduce my family to, because they can get welded to idols that'll never be broken out from their hand. I can introduce them to things that'll shackle them for the rest of their life. And that's what Lot had done. And they were so intent on staying in Sodom that the angels had to drag them out. See, when we get hooked up to the things of the world, and the preacher starts preaching against that stuff, and the Spirit of God, if you're saved, starts convicting you of it, I'm telling you, we love the things of this world. Our old man does so much. We better be careful what we introduce ourselves to, because ourselves will like it.
That's right.
Our old man loves sin. It loves to do the wickedness of our soul or our heart, the things that we want to do. And we better be careful, because we'll end up like Lot, getting so used to the dark that even when the judgment's coming, we'll have to be drug out of there. And that's what happened. I tell you another thing. Let's look in verse 30 of what Lot introduced his family to, because he'd gotten used to the dark. "And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him." These are the two virgin daughters. See, Lot lost his wife in Sodom. Go ahead. I know some of y'all, you think, well, because salvation's eternal. The Armenians, when I say Armenian, I'm talking Free Wills, General Baptist, that believe in falling from grace. If a man backslides, they'll say he lost it. The people who believe in grace, a lot of them say, well, they never had it. But it's possible for a saved person to choose to do wrong and do it and get in a mess.
Amen.
I believe some people are too fatalistic if they don't think we have choices. We've got a whole lot of them. Choose you this day who you'll serve. The very fact that God promised correction to us when we sin and chastisement tells us that we can choose to do wrong.
Amen.
You'll say, well, I thought you believed in predestination. I do. But I'm going to tell you what, God doesn't force His people to live a certain way, but I tell you what, we can't stop the judgment of God when it comes on us for not listening to this Bible either.
Amen. Amen.
Lot's wife wanted it. He told him not to even look back, said, get out. But Miss Lot loved it so much, the Bible tells us in the New Testament to remember Lot's wife. And she said, oh, I love it so much down there, I got to just look one more time. Bam, turned into a pillar of salt. See, the ground that Sodom was on, it was rich in salt. And I think what God was showing, you want this world and what's in Sodom, I'll let you have all of it. You can stand. He turned her into a pillar of salt. Lot lost all of his possessions. All of his herds and herdsmen, they were destroyed. He lost his wife because he was getting used to the dark. But the story's just getting worse now, Brother Duke. Look what happens with his daughters. Verse 31. "And the firstborn of his daughters said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us. after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he perceived not when she lay down nor when she rose, arose. And it came to pass on the morning or the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our God. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both of the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites, which is God's washpot, unto this day. And the younger she also bare a son and called his name Benami, the same as the father of the children of Ammon, unto this day. Lot ends up in a cave with his daughters. These were the two pure, quote, chaste, virgin, good girls that Lot had. I'm going to tell you something. Lot might have been deceived if they really were what he thought they were. But even if they were, they had seen some things in Sodom, because if they were innocent and godly, and we know they weren't because he couldn't have stayed. But see, the influence of Sodom had so messed these young girls up that they had some kind of a mental capacity to know to get their daddy drunk and to lie with him. I'm going to tell you something. That's why we as parents ought to be very careful who our children run with. We ought to be careful what they do. I'm telling you this stuff. I come through Russellville the other night, and the kids are cruising around the square. And I know some of you say, well, I did that, and I'm going to let my kids do all that. Well, think about what you done when you were out there. We don't need our young folks to be hood ornaments on the car and laying in the back seat fornicating and living like the world. I'm telling you, they'll learn things on a Saturday night when you're not supervising them. They'll learn things that they'll wreck them for the rest of their life. Lot's daughter saw some things that daddy led them into when he got used to the dark in Sodom that has wrecked their lives.
That's right.
I know you'll say, well, kids are going to be kids. That's why you need to be a parent and a daddy and a man, sir, because they are going to be kids. You need to stand up and do your part. Mom, you ought to back him too.
Amen.
I know you say, well, that's just for people like you and Brother Duke and some of you preachers. I'm going to tell you who it's for. It's for all God's people.
Amen.
You say, well, your kids are little. You can get up and run your mouth about it. Well, you pray that I keep hammering this way when they're 13 and 14. I know the war's yet to come. But I tell you what, by the grace of God, I want to keep plowing where I'm plowing right now. And if it doesn't turn out the way I want, I'll still say it's God's Word and it's right. See, that's where most people, when they start getting used to the dark, is when their kids start getting used to the dark. And they almost think, well, I've got to go that way because my kids are involved in it, or it's going to make me look bad. No, what makes you look bad is when you condone the sin of your children.
Amen.
Just because, see, I don't say this, you know, I'm not mean about it. I'm against interracial marriage. Some people aren't. But if my daughter's interracially married, I don't have to start saying, well, I'm not against it because they done it. Or one of my daughters turned out bad or done this or done that. I don't have to say, well, since they done it, I have to soften up on it. No, I'm telling you, it's still thus saith the Lord, whether they do it or whether they don't do it.
Amen.
The reason you do that, you get used to the dark. You say, well, preacher, what is darkness? The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, verse 19. John chapter 3, verse 19, the Bible compares sin to darkness. See, what it really was that Lot had got used to, Brother Duke, he had got used to the sin that was around him. He had seen it so much that he just started accepting it. See, here's what happens. You, at first, if you're saved, you're against it. Then you begin to accept it and say, it's not for me, but if they want to, that's fine. But if you stay with darkness long enough, you'll be participating in it too.
That's right.
Sin is darkness. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation, that light, talking about Christ, is come into the world, and men love darkness, talking about sin, rather than light because their deeds are evil. The darkness that we get used to is just plain and simple. It's sin. It's iniquity that we get used to because we've been exposed to it so much. Another thing I want to look at is 2 Peter 2:7. I made that statement earlier. Some people are so fatalistic that they almost think that because it's not God's will for man to sin, and it's not, that man, a saved person can't get into sin. Well, you look here, I want to look here that a saved person can get used to the dark. 2 Peter 2:7. And delivered just Lot. Now, I used to say, I said, I'm going to look that word just up. That doesn't mean saved Lot. That just means just Lot got delivered. But when I looked it up, that word just means justified. Right. Vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Lot was saved, but he was vexed. He was bombarded. He was getting used to the filthy conversation of the wicked. And that's exactly where any saved person can get to. You're capable, I'm capable of doing any sin that I was capable of before the Lord saved me by His grace. The difference is that I don't think you can enjoy it like you used to. And I for sure know that the conviction and the chastening of God will be on you when you do it. So a saved person can get used to the dark. You say, well, preacher, what brings us to the point that we start getting used to the dark? I'm trying to hurry here. Matthew chapter 6. Y'all just stay with me. I'm about done here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. How does a saved person start down the road to even get in the position to get used to the dark? Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Light in the physical world enters the body through the eye gate. Now, as far as when you shut your eyes, you can't see. You might can see something, but light enters the physical body through the eye gate. That's how we see light, okay, in the physical world. But I believe what the Bible's trying to say. Let me read the next verse. But if thine eye be full, or if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee, talking about a saved person, be darkness, how great is that darkness? I believe what he's really saying here, that the light of the body is the eye. I believe the eye is talking about man's heart. I really believe that. Sin and darkness enter through the eye, maybe the physical eye, but it gets to our heart and soul. The eye represents the heart. And if it is fixed on Christ, we are full of light. See, the next verse down says, no man can serve two masters. He'll love one or hate the other. I believe what verse 22 is telling us is that if a saved person who has the light of God, but if our hearts be filled with darkness, thy whole body will be filled with darkness. And he said, how great is that darkness? The way we start getting used to the dark is we start taking darkness in. We start fellowshipping with the things that are ungodly. We'll start watching things we oughtn't to watch and having images in our mind. We'll start hearing things and listening to things we shouldn't. We'll start reading things. We'll start participating in things. We'll start going to places that are ungodly and that are pulling us away from the Lord. We'll go to that. That's how you get used to the dark. You just take it in. Take it in. And he said, if the light that's in you, a saved person that's got the light of God in them, becomes dark and wicked and worldly, how great is that darkness? The darkness in a child of God is greater than the darkness, I believe, in a lost person's heart. Because you are saved, but you've allowed getting used to the dark has brought you to a place of how great the darkness is. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I believe all that. I'll ask yourself this. Do you stand where you stood 20 years ago about sin? Or have you let up a little bit? Do we stand about worldly things where we did? Or have we just letting the standard down, letting the guard down little by little? Examine yourselves. We all must examine ourselves on that. Exposure brings acceptance. As we're exposed to the darkness of the world, we are going to accept it more if we don't do this right here, and I'm done. I want to look at the prevention and cure for getting used to the dark. See, the only thing that can cure physical darkness is light. If you go into a pitch black room, Brother Jerry, and you say, now I know there's a light switch in here and you can't hardly even see, there's not but one thing that's going to make the darkness flee, and that's turn the light on. Well, the Bible tells us what light is. And the only thing that's going to help us as far as preventing us from getting used to the dark, or if you're already and I'm already getting used to some things, God help us to repent of it. And I'll tell you how we're going to prevent and cure getting used to the dark. Psalm 119. Exposure to light, Brother Duke, is going to help us not get used to the dark. Psalm 119, we'll read verse 11. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Then we see right over here in verse 130. Well, let's look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Verse 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light and it giveth understanding unto the simple. And I tell you how we're going to stand against what culture is putting on us in the bombarding of the world is we're going to have to keep studying, keep filling ourselves with the blessed King James Bible, the Word of God, because He said, thy word, thy light, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's the way, Brother Mark, we're going to be able to stand and not get used to what we see around us, but still be appalled, still be shocked, still be bothered by sin, is if we're staying close to the light, the Word of God. I tell you, when you'll start getting used to the dark is when you're getting away from the light. When you get away from the Bible and the reading of the Word and applying the Word of God, that's why we're getting used to the dark. When you hide something, my grandma, she used to hide stuff. She used to hide food from me. Because she knew he might need it later. I'd need it all. When we hide the Word of God in our heart, it's there when we need it. Because we're going to need it to fight against darkness. I know people think that you say you're just too extreme about things. No. I see how the decline of our churches has just seemed like it's creeping in little by little. And it's getting bad and it's getting so dark. Let's look in Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off. See, there's man's responsibility. See, everybody talks about the sovereignty of God, and I'm thankful for it. But some preachers have run that track in the ground. And they're just buried up in sovereignty and they're dead on responsibility. I'm sick of that stuff. I tell you why they don't preach on responsibility is because the congregation don't want to hear that too much because that's something that they have to do. It's easy to say, well, it's all of God and I don't have to worry about it. It's all of God. It's all of God. And we do that trying to get ourselves out of what we're supposed to do, and that's not right.
Amen.
He said, cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering. If I ain't mistaken, that means whoredom, bedding down. I think that's what that means. And wantonness, not in strife and envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're to put off those things. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you ever feel, it wasn't about a year ago, I was laying in the bed, God showed me some things, said, you're conforming too much to this old world. And I had to get up and repent of some things. I'm going to tell you, we're not to be conformed to what's around us, but we're being transformed by the renewing. See, it's always a temptation. It's always a temptation. Because nobody likes to be laughed at or... See, we're a peculiar people. We're odd. We ought to stand out in the world, not intentionally to some kind of freak show, but because we are the Lord's. Because, I tell you what, if you don't stand out different than the lost world, I'd be concerned about what you're claiming is salvation. I'm telling you, we pass from death into life. We're no longer dead in our sin. We are different than the world. And it ought to be very evident that we're not being more conformed to what's around us, but that we're being transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Amen.
That's the last scripture I'll read. I just jotted down about 8 or 9 things that I've noticed that we've gotten used to the dark on that used to a few generations ago would not have been accepted or tolerated. And if these things hurt you, or if they are something you're involved in, I'm not being mean to you. Because when I preach to you, I'm either preaching against what I'm doing or preaching that I don't do it. So I'm not looking down on you, okay? I noticed one thing that we've got used to the dark on that we used to not be so chummy with is things like divorce and remarriage. My mom is 56 years old, and if she gets mad at me telling her age, I hate that. But when she was a little girl, she said that her parents, somebody in their family was getting divorced. And when they told it, they wouldn't even say it out loud too much. It was kind of like, yeah, they're getting divorced. But now, hey, she left him, but I don't blame her. He was bad. He wasn't good to her. I'm going to watch the kids for her while she goes out and gets her another man. See, a lot of grandparents are so wishy-washy and weak and so cowardly when it comes to their children. They'll watch the kids while their daughters and sons are out whoring around and running around looking for somebody else, and they'll keep them for a night or two while they go party. I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to say, nope, they're your kids. You take them home. See, we don't want to enable our family to sin.
Yep, right.
You say, oh, well, preacher, they might get mad at me. Well, who cares? God's mad at it when you let them do it. I don't know if we even care about what God thinks, but we're getting used to the dark. See, divorce and remarriage and all this stuff, it's not even looked down upon anymore. I'm not talking about being mean to the people. I'm talking about the sin of it. It's just so common. It's easier to get out of a marriage than it is to get in one. It takes, you have your big fight and everybody's mad. Time the wedding happens most of the time. But a divorce, they just go over and they're out of it in 30 minutes or an hour and the lawyers take care of everything. Divorce is a little... We've got used to the dark on that subject. Another thing we've got used to the dark on is the roles of men and women in the home.
Right.
Seeing like Brother Duke's been preaching. We just... You know, I thought about that old show that used to be on television, Father Knows Best. That show would sink in the first episode now. Father no longer knows best. Mama's running the show and the children are running her and daddy needs to shut his mouth. That's the way most people look at it.
Right.
See, we're getting used to the dark. There's been a reversal of roles in the home. Along those same lines, I think about the dress standards of men and women. There was a time, you go back 70 years ago, 80 years ago, you couldn't hardly find a woman that wear a pair of pants. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shouldn't wear that which pertains to a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. And people always say, well, preacher, we need to go... Everybody dressed the same back in. They always want to go back in. Why don't we come up to now and see what's a man's clothes and what's a woman's clothes? Bring it up to date. If I ask you, what is a dress and a skirt? You'd say, that's woman's clothes. If I ask you, what is a pair of pants? You'd say, that's a man's clothes. But see, what happened was, is as we got used to the dark, I can imagine when the first woman stepped out and started wearing pants out in public and started going up and down the street, people started thinking, I don't know about all that. But as time went on, exposure brought acceptance, and now it's being accepted and it's accepted. Then they said, well, yeah, I'm going to wear my pants to work and out in the world, but I wouldn't ever wear them to the Lord's house. Wasn't ever wear them to church. That's hypocrisy. I mean, that don't even make sense that you won't wear them to this building, but you'll wear them to Walmart. I mean, God's everywhere, right? This ain't the church, right?
Amen.
But I tell you, exposure has brought acceptance. And I'm going to say that if we, as time goes on, men are going to be able to dress like women. They're already doing it. They already are doing it. And we'll be accepting of that too. You say, well, preacher, I don't believe that women and men ought to be different in their dress. Well, I tell you what, the Bible says they're supposed to. And we need to realize this. We need to realize this, that when a woman puts on a pair of pants, she is openly rebelling against her head, her husband, and rebelling against God. She's saying, because you've heard the old saying, well, I know who wears the pants in that house. Well, what we're saying is, I know who's in charge, who's the leader down there. But for a woman to put on a pair of pants, she is in rebellion. What would it be? I tell you how we've come to the point where we think women, a woman can, if my daughter said, Brother Duke, you know, she's graduating high school, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go to the military, and I'm going to jump out of airplanes, and I'm going to shoot people, and I'm going to fight in the war. Most people say, well, honey, that's good. Or if she said, I'm praying God send me a right man and I'm going to be a housewife and I'll keep her at home. That's good. But when we go to our son, and my son says, well, you know what? First thing I want to do is start selling Avon and Mary Kay. That's been my lifelong goal. We'd say, well, he's a sissy. Something's wrong with him. But see, our mentality is a girl can do anything, but a boy is limited. That's why we think it's all right for women to wear pants, and we all think it's all right for this and that. I'll tell you another example. Getting used to the dark.
Right.
I know y'all think this stuff's trifling. You're saying, get off that stuff. That ain't the deep things of the Bible. I'm going to tell you what, anything in that Bible ought to be preached.
Amen.
And this is important, okay? I'll tell you how bad we've got, though. We have double standards. A woman could come into the church, and the Bible does still say that a woman's long hair is a glory. I'm not talking about if you've had a sickness and all that. You know, I'm not talking about that. But the woman's long hair is her glory, and that nature itself teaches if a man have a long hair, it's a shame unto him.
Right.
A woman could walk in here, because I heard it one time 2 years ago. I'm not going to say what church I heard it in. Girl got her hair cut terribly short. 99% of the women said, oh, it's so, that looks good. They was all around her saying, man, that looks so good on you. But if I had let my hair grow out and had a ponytail, and I come in here and say, well, I'm going to sing the choir and I'll be preaching here in a minute, y'all would say, ain't no way a man singing in the choir that's a member of the Lord's church and preaching with a ponytail.
Amen.
See, we've got double. Y'all see what we've got used to?
That's right.
Why would y'all be against a man having long hair but not a woman having short hair? Because we've got used to the dark.
Amen. Amen.
We've got used to the dark and worldliness in our lives, false doctrine being taught, and it doesn't seem to bother us. Sodomite marriage. See, they're trying to weaken. I was glad to hear J.C. Penney lost $126 million.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say I don't ever shop there, but I know two reasons why they have. One, for sure, and they admitted this. The way they're doing their sales and things. See, psychologically, if somebody gets a coupon in the mailbox and says that they're getting money off, even if they've raised the price, psychologically, you think you're getting a buy, you're going. But I hope it's the judgment of God for putting that lesbian Ellen DeGeneres as their spokesman.
Amen.
I hope that there's enough of God's people. But see, we'll say, well, Ellen gives away. I've seen her show where I exercise its own, and I try to cut it off anytime I can get to the remote. But I hear her, and she's always saying, everybody be kind to one another. And she's giving away things. See what she's doing. No, she don't look like a drag queen and somebody that looks like a monster that we think of the sodomite and lesbian crowd. She looks kind of like a normal person. She's good. That's softening us up and getting us used to the dark. I'm telling you, sodomy and lesbianism in any form is an abomination unto God. I don't care if they cover it up with a spokesman for J.C. Penney or if it's some drag queen on the streets of New York City, it's still wicked before God.
Amen.
But they're getting us used to it little by little, by little,
amen,
by little,
amen,
by little. And then, I think another way we've got used to the dark is what's taught in the public school systems, how anti-God it is. But we say, well, you know, it ain't that bad. They're teaching evolution. They're rewriting history. They're trying to make our forefathers look like a bunch of sodomites and whoremongers and slave traders. And some of them were some of those things. But I'm going to tell you, the majority of the founders of this country might not have been all Christians, but there was a time that even lost people feared God, Brother Duke. They wouldn't even take the stance openly. But little by little, we're getting used to the dark. Our public school systems destroy the home. They keep families running for sports and cheerleading and all this stuff. They keep you running in all directions. There's little time for family altar. There's little time for family time together at home. There's a little time for anything because we're getting used to the dark. I'll tell you another thing we're getting used to the dark. It used to be obscene to us is tattoos and body piercings. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Leviticus to not make any markings or cuts on your body. Now, I've had them say, well, your wife's got an earring in her ear. And I say, yes, she does. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible tells us to adorn ourselves in modest apparel. The word modest has to do with a moderate amount. It's not only that it's wholesome, but it's when you say I'd make a modest or have a moderate amount, it's not excessive. And I won't say that when people start piercing their noses, their belly buttons and everything else, when they put 7 or 8 in their ear, when they're just covered up in all this stuff, I mean, they'll put tattoos on their body. I'm telling you, there's even Christian so-called tattoos now that they'll put crosses in the things about Christ. I'm telling you, that stuff, we oughtn't to get used to the dark on that. It's still wrong to mark up the body that's a temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's still wicked and against God. I mean, we've got Christian rock, Christian rap, Christian tattoos. We've got everything that's called Christian. But I'm telling you, it's anti-God and anti-Christian is what it is. And then last thing we've just got used to, the dark on, is ungodly images that are pumped in our faces from the media. Whether it's the internet, television, magazines, we're just bombarded. Why does Victoria's Secrets have to put out magazines? You surely know where underclothes go, don't you? I mean, let's think about it, Brother Duke. What Victoria's Secrets puts out would have been outlawed. Playboy wasn't much. That was how Playboy started. That's as naked as they were in Playboy when it started. Look where we've come to now. If you send a Victoria, if we send a Victoria's Secrets magazine, I'll be putting it up in the mail case. I don't think I'm getting used to the dark.
That's right.
It's just bombarding on us, church. And I'm going to say the doctrines of grace are important. Church truth is important. But let's don't get so off on that stuff that we forget the responsibility of how we live out there in this world.
Amen.
Let's don't forget it.